There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people to see if we could become something more.
So when they needed us, we could fight the battles
that they never could.
To Infinity War and beyond.
Welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you, Mackenzie, for welcoming us to the podcast.
Sorry, go on.
Yeah, that was good. We are glad to. We are here
with Megan, Daniel, myself, Mackenzie, Jacob, and Steve.
Excuse me, ma'am. My name is Josh.
Jacob's not here. She was doing
Josh.
So well.
I meant Josh. And we have just watched the strangest but yet awesome movie.
That was good. You were going somewhere good. We are here for chapter 14. I think it's chapter 14.
But for me, it's like chapter 4. I've only been to like 4 of these, though. So.
As we move on in the MCU with Doctor Strange starring Babadook Cumbersnitch.
And it did lead to his title. It is strange. It is a strange movie. Sorry, I will stop interrupting.
Go. No, don't. We're excited to talk about Doctor Strange with
Cumberbatch.
With Megan, Daniel, Kenzie, and Josh, not Jacob. Doctor Strange, of course, tells the story of Dr. Stephen Strange. A brilliant surgeon who, after a tragic accident, loses the use of his hands or his ability to perform surgery.
No,
which
he didn't lose the ability of his hand.
He did. He couldn't hold a scalpel.
Okay, so that's neither can I, but I still use shaking. My hands. My hands shake too, but I'm not going
to,
up and...
Okay. When he is led to a mysterious Eastern temple, and he learns the ways of magic. And of course, as often happens in these movies, he discovers new powers, which leads him to the battle against good and evil. Now, for many of you, this was your first time seeing Doctor Strange. So what did you think of the film?
I liked it. Wasn't my favorite, though. It didn't seem much like a superhero movie.
Okay.
It was more of like a, not really like coming of age, but like it was like a, you know, realizing your full potential sort of movie.
Okay.
It was like, you know, there was some fight scenes, but it wasn't like it was as like, you know, scaled up as like the Avengers or Iron Man. Like it wasn't, you know, some mega fight. It was just kind of like a few fist fights in like a moving world.
To be fair, they traveled the entire globe and destroyed a city at the end.
That's they didn't even
much
show that though.
Like,
I guess.
Like they
guess
just kind of showed up and it was already destroyed, and then he twisted his arm and it went back. Like, it was, I don't know.
Okay.
Like, there could have been a lot more to it, but
okay.
There just wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen this movie before. I think I'm the only one besides Steve who has actually seen this one before. And I mean, I have mixed feelings about it because I like it. It's, like, different, but I don't know. I also, like, really like it because it's, like, they went so, like, out there with, like, their visual effects and stuff, like that one scene where they were all stuck in the mirror dimension and they were like running around the city and it was all like,
oh yeah, I wonder how long it took for them to do that.
Like the visual effects were like
spot on.
Yeah,
which I really really liked. I mean some parts could be worked on a lot more, like better fight scenes. Like there were good fight scenes, but like the biggest fight scene of the movie I saw was like Mumu destroying
Dormammu
destroying him over and over and over again. Like that was like 5 minutes of the movie when it could have just been like 30 seconds. But you know.
Your favorite part of the movie was seeing Thor in the end credits scene.
Same,
a little
bit,
yes.
Yeah, but yeah, I overall enjoyed it. I mean, I think it was interesting, but I liked the fact that it was Benedict Cumberbatch. I think he's a really good actor. I really like him. But yeah, it was a bit mind bendy for me. I don't do very well with mind bend stuff. So it was a bit. Well, I can't say the word, but it was a bit.
Trippy.
Yeah, it was a bit weird for me. It was a bit everywhere, but I liked it. I thought it was an interesting concept.
Harry Potter on drugs.
Yes. I thought it was an interesting concept that he got in the axe, and then that's kind of how it, like, culminated into, like, him getting the powers. Because they could have just made it, like, a different story, but he got, like, in a car accident, his hands and stuff. So I found it interesting. I mean, it's not my favorite, but it's...
Okay.
So I've never really seen this movie before, and I didn't know what to think of it. And then as, like, at the beginning, I was like, oh boy, here we go. This ego doctor who needs to find himself or something like that, like an Eat, Pray, Love story. And then...
Wait. You were expecting Eat, Pray, Love from the Marvel series. Yeah. From the
no, at the be- no, Julie no. Roberts. Hear me out. At the beginning, it was like, oh great, this guy, he's being a dick to everyone, and then he's gonna have some leader come in and show him the way and have some cool stuff. but as the movie progressed, I'm like, wow, this is one of the weirdest movies I've ever seen, but yet it's so awesome, I would watch it again. But I wouldn't watch it all the time, you know. Like, yeah.
What? So, it was so amazing. It was so great. I might watch it again.
I'd watch it again, but I wouldn't watch it all the time.
Like
just
Ant-Man.
Some of the time.
Like Ant-Man.
Whoa.
No.
A lot better than Ant-Man.
Yes, it is.
My drive in so that we could watch it was more exciting than Ant-Man.
Yes.
I think.
The gag reel of Ant-Man was better than Ant-Man.
In Ant-Man, never mind.
But anyway, I love the visual effects.
We got magic hands happening over here. Anyway, okay.
The visual effects, and it was really cool. Every time I watched the visual effects happen, I felt like I was on drugs, per se. And it was really, really cool. I bet it took a lot of time for those visual effects.
I'm not gonna lie, this one is one of my favorites. I'm talking like top three or four that I've seen so far. I think it's up there. Even though, yes, we watched the Honest trailer, which compared the plots to Iron Man, I really love his character in this particular film. And two of the things I like the most about this film, see, the thing you didn't like is what I like the most. This is the only Marvel movie that ends with them putting a city back together.
Yes.
Without destroying it. Everyone up to this point has them destroying, leveling a city. And this is the one where the climactic battle is them fixing it. What?
Only one movie has them leveling a city.
Only one. Yeah, right. One of them has them dropping it out of the sky.
Exactly.
One of them has aliens leveling a city.
It's not
leveling.
New York's fine. Oh my gosh. The movie New York's fine.
And also, I'm going to get a little off topic, but some of the DC films have the same thing where they destroy a city, not giving a crap in the world about the costs and expenses to fix it.
Well, see, that was the whole point of Civil War, too. And then all of a sudden they start slipping in the line and say, don't worry, they've evacuated the city, so now people aren't dying. But this one, I love that. I also love the fact that they fix it without throwing a punch.
They threw like 1,700 punches.
But none of them fix it. None of the punches solve the problem. Absolutely. What solves the problem is a negotiation. And all the other ones are about how big can the explosion be. And as irritated as you can be from hearing over and over again, Dormammu, I've come to bargain, Dormammu, I've come to bargain. I love that.
Can I just say that I felt like it was less of a negotiation and more like a parent whose child is asking over and over and over for something, and the parent's just like telling them no, and it's like, you know what, fine, I'll get it for you so you'll stop doing this. And because he has this endless loop of him going back and forth saying, hey, I want to negotiate, and he's just like...
That analogy only works if the child is holding the parent hostage. That's the only true. Way that works.
True. Mama, true. Give me
but you
the...
can tell. You can tell. Like,
Oreo.
That's what made it so comedic, that he was just like, I'm not going to solve your problem until he's just like, okay, then I'm going to keep, you know, telling you the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, well, that's what I liked about it, because I know... This was the first one I thought that really, even though it took a lot of the same sort of structural things, it tried to be different than the other ones. Like, I would very much like to see Doctor Strange 2 and 3. And that's the other thing, too, is Mordo I found particularly interesting. And it's not, even though he's not really the villain in this film, because the villain is Caecilius or whatever his name is, Captain Pink Eye. And the main threat's Dormammu. Mordo has been set up as a villain.
Mr. Eyeshadow.
But Mordo's set up as a villain, and I actually feel like if he comes back as a bad guy, I actually kind of want to see what he's going to do. Because I understand I understand his motivation. I get to know him a little better. I don't know. Those are the things I really liked about this one. I don't know. You guys can disagree with that. It's fine. You guys are all just nodding, actually.
I do agree. Like, this, the fact that the big, big bad guy was not the big, big bad guy. The main villain was just this, like, almost like servant guy who's just trying to prove to this other guy that he has what it takes. But then the funny thing is then he doesn't actually end up proving that.
Hmm.
So... It's nice that they're not actually fighting the worst thing there. The worst thing there, like you said, it's almost like a pacifist fight, because there's not a punch thrown in that last fight that ends up saving them.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of punching beforehand, but it's that last few moments I really love.
The Dormammu really reminds me of Thanos. Especially from the first Guardians. Because in that one, like, Thanos has... Ronan? I think it is Ronan.
Oh, yeah, you're right, yeah.
Ronan be the one to actually go out and, like, you know, try to get the orb and, you know, try to get the Guardians. In this one, Dormammu has... Slif-Slif. Go out and...
Slif-Slif? You mean Caecilius?
Yes.
He has syphilis.
What's wrong with
that's
his eyes?
Eyes.
Syphilis.
Yeah, but like he has somebody else go out and do everything.
Come to bargain.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. They both sort of had their acolytes, if you will.
Power. You gave me syphilis.
What do you guys think about the way that spirituality is portrayed in this one? Because it is interesting. I mean, for those of you guys that were here when we talked about Thor, they sort of go all in on this one. But Thor, they still try to balance it with the science aspect. You know, what you call science, we call, or what you call magic, we call science, blah, blah, blah. They don't even try to build that bridge. What do you guys think about the way they use magic and spirituality in this movie?
Well, it seemed like the kind of, like, I guess, like, community that, like, the Ancient One was, like, leading or running. It seemed like a very, like, you know, peaceful thing. I don't know. Like that community, it seemed like it was supposed to be, like, you know, a peaceful sort of thing. Like, they're learning about, like, you know, about themselves and how to, like, you know, better themselves so that they can be, like, their full potential. And I believe that's kind of what, like, monks are. Is like okay. They're. Mm-hmm. It's like kind of almost like that same tie-in.
I got that vibe with the wolf and the monk. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was like thinking. I was like, if not, then it's something else. But I'm pretty sure it's like the monks is when there's, you know, a lot of like kind of self
awareness.
Yeah, self fulfillment, self awareness. Like it's a lot of like, you know, working on yourself to better yourself and to help in a greater way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Ancient One, like, she was, like, one of my more favorite characters besides the cape.
Yeah, cape's, like, legit. The cape is legit.
But just because she kept, like, dissing this poor guy, like, anything he thought that was good about him, like, she was basically like, no. And he's like, mm-mm. My knowledge has helped me so much. And she's like, mm-mm, your knowledge has only gotten you so far, but mm-mm, nope, not anymore.
Nope.
Or, like, my power to drive has gotten me so far. And it's like, no, it's the thing that's keeping you from greatness. And he, basically all of, like, these human things that everybody thinks that we need in order to succeed, she's basically saying, no, not really. Which is really cool because all of, like, the other movies, they're, like, I guess all the other Marvel movies, like, I don't know, like, Iron Man, the Avengers, they're all about, like, enhancing your, like, human abilities to get greater and stronger, whereas this is sort of just throwing out all your human instinct, knowledge, and how big you think you are, and basically just throwing all that down the drain.
Yeah, this one's, like, it's like the other ones are bringing something to you to help, but this one's, the other ones are, like, you know, here's something, like, we're gonna give to you to help you, but this one's more, like, you are gonna give yourself something that you already have to help you.
Mm. What do you think about Stephen Strange?
He's a bit weird.
Yeah. No. He is not someone who I would want to be my doctor just because he's arrogant.
And he doesn't even take all of the cases that come to him. He's
you're a patient.
No.
You don't know what he's doing.
I would want him to be my doctor.
In the beginning scene where he's doing a surgery on a patient, he's just, like, listening to music, talking to people.
They all do
like,
that.
Casually. No.
They do.
Really?
Yeah, they do. For sure. They listen to music when they're in surgery, absolutely.
I know, but they're like, this guy's on the table with his brain cut, his head cut open, and they're just like, has to be like, hey, how's your day going, you know? Like,
well, they gotta have something to distract
them. I don't
want
someone who wants to actually
cutting
do
into
this.
This dude's head.
Yes, please.
Okay, so, all right, so we agree.
He's a good doctor.
He's a good doctor.
But
he's an ex.
During that scene when he was about to, like, die, like, leading up to it and, like, Billy called him, he was saying, like, no, that, you gotta give me something interesting. Like, I'm not just gonna, like, okay, so this lady broke her spine. Okay, she's not interesting. I'm not gonna do that. Like, that's not what a doctor's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he, like, holds himself up to, like, really big standards. During that scene when he's driving, like, I'm pretty sure it's like, oh, there's 50 other doctors that can do that.
Yeah.
Why did you come to me? Because he believes that, you know, because he's so good, all he should do are these, like, you know, super dangerous, like, you know, one false move, like, dead. Sort of like surgeries, but he's like, you know, he's not taking into consideration that, you know, if another surgeon isn't as good as him, there's a chance that they won't make it because, like, he is, I guess, probably, like, you know, the best in the hospital. So he kind of, he holds himself up too high than what he should.
What do you think about what the Ancient One says to him? Because the Ancient One, you know, along those lines, when they're standing there as she's about to die, she makes a comment saying that you always excelled, not because you craved success, but your fear of failure. And he says, that's what made me great. And she said, that's what prevented you from being great. You failed to grasp the one truth that matters more than anything. I'm paraphrasing. I forget what it is. And he says, what is that? And he says, it's not about you. Why do you think that's the important thing? And why is this fear of failure that you guys are saying is what makes him a great doctor holding him up? What do you think?
Sorry, could you say what she said again?
She says, you failed. She says, you've always excelled, not because you craved success, but because of your fear of failure. And he says, that's what made me great. She says, that's what prevented you from being great.
The fear of failure?
Yeah. And she says, because you failed to learn the truth that's greater than all of those things, or something of that fact. It's not about you.
Well, yeah, he's a doctor. It's not about him. He's helping other people. That's his entire job.
Okay.
Like, that's his entire... That's what he decided to do, and that's what he decided to... Like, he's... He decided to be a surgeon. When you're a surgeon, you work for the people that you're helping. Like, you're there to save someone's life. And you're there to... Well, he was on the table, like, twice in the movie. So he knows that now, I think. I think he knows that he... Yeah, it's difficult. Because he... It's weird, because... It's funny that you said that, because his job is entirely the opposite. He's isn't entirely that. Like, it's he's working for other people, and he's like, I want... Yeah, I think he says earlier on in the thing, I want to help other people, not kill people.
He does say that. Yes, and he is.
He is... That's what he does as a job. Like, he is helping other humans. Like, he... he may be arrogant, and he may have his flaws, but he is, in the end, helping other people.
Hmm.
And, like, when he talks to that guy that I can't remember his name, and he says, like, I don't know, the black guy.
Mordo.
Mordo, right. Mordo. And he says, like, I just killed somebody. I'm not doing that again. Like, because he's seeing that no one has any problem with killing anybody. He doesn't want to do that. He wants to save lives, not kill them. Or not take them.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, he keeps going on about that, like, he doesn't want to kill, he wants to be the one to save lives. But on the other hand, when he's kind of like, you know, before he was, like, the kind of, like, superhero Doctor Strange, he wasn't taking patients that weren't, you know, that didn't have bullets that would have leaked some, like, toxic stuff into their brain. Like, you know, he was leaving doctors that weren't up to his, like...
Standard?
Up to his own, like, abilities, weren't as good as him, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if they're, you know, doing the procedure and then that person dies, although he wasn't the one to be doing the surgery, he could have been, but he let a not as experienced or not as good doctor to do that.
Interesting. So you're saying that his fear of failure actually is what led him to not take cases. Is that what I'm hearing you say? Like, you're saying he would not take things... So that he wouldn't fail at it? Is that what you're implying?
I think, yeah. He wasn't taking them because he didn't feel like they were good enough cases to take.
That yeah, I would agree with that. I would think that he felt they were beneath him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they were like,
which
oh, that's like, you know.
A doctor should think.
Yeah.
Like, a person who is dying is a person who's dying. That's all that there is.
Yeah, see, when I hear about the fear of failure comment, one of the things that I think of is that he thinks that that made him great because it pushed him to do better. But I think what she's implying is that he's still putting the emphasis on himself and saying, you know, I have to be perfect. I have to be the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. I think what happens when she's talking about his fear of failure, I think he talks about that made him a great doctor because it pushed him to want to be the best, because he was afraid of not getting his name, not being known. But I think she flips it around on him because she wants him to recognize that what's holding him back is this emphasis on himself. You know, it's not about whether or not you are great. It's about being recognizing that something is greater. My favorite verse, and oddly enough, I write it on birthday cards, and everybody thinks it's a time. It's strange. John 3:30. I had one person came to me once and said, who is John, and why am I meeting him at 3:30? I said, it's not what I wrote.
It's false.
False.
Read the Bible.
John 3:30.
Do you even Bible, bro?
John 3:30 says, he must become greater, I must become less. And it's this. John the Baptist talking about elevating Christ and not getting his name in the paper. You know, people want to do that for him because he's done all this stuff. And he says, no, it's not me. And I think that's one of the key things that Strange has to learn in this one. Even the fact that when every time she calls him Mr. Strange, he argues that I'm Dr. Strange. You have to know you have to know what I've accomplished. This is who I am.
And it's just like, nobody cares if you're a doctor, okay? Nobody calls you Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Except your coworkers.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you being a doctor has nothing to do with that. In fact, it ups your big obsessive ego that I want to punch in the face so hard. But then you see him with his cape and you just want to... John.
They call him John. I'm like, who the frig is John?
I said John.
John 330.
There it is.
Yeah, but yeah. He always says that and I'm just like, dude, you're just like Wonder Woman. Nobody calls you Wonder Woman.
Oh.
I don't know if they're the same, but yeah. What do you guys think about the comment? She says, silence your ego and your power will rise. What is that all about?
It's getting over yourself and being able to see past your rich doctor nose.
Hmm.
Yes. And the fact that just because you're a doctor and can do surgeries that no one else can do, you go to this place where this ball blade, you can punch your spirit right out of you and whoop your butt in two different forms.
Right.
That means nothing. You have to see past the fact that no one, like Mackenzie said, no one here cares that you're a doctor.
Hmm.
Right? And here they taught this guy how to walk when you didn't help him.
Yeah.
Right? No one really cares. So.
And one of my favorite scenes is when Doctor Strange is just like, okay, you need to teach me. And she's just like, no. And then he just kicks him out.
No.
I'm just like silently clapping my hands. I'm just like, yes,
Doctor Strange?
Someone needs to kick him in his face. Anyway.
No, it reminds me of my grandma, because my grandma and grandpa, they were in love. And my grandpa like followed her across the world after World War II, like went to like France to like hitchhike to find her. He comes, he's like, I found you after the war. Will you marry me? And my grandma's like, no.
You've got to tell that story later.
And he waited out that door for 5 hours.
And she still said no.
She still said no.
Why did she say no?
Because she wanted to finish med school before she got married.
Okay.
There. See?
There you go. See?
Good reasons. Good reasons to say no, ladies. See, this is one of the things I think I connect with the film so much on, again, is, like, just pastorally. The director, he might hate me using the term or not, but my understanding is the director, Scott Derrickson, is a Christian. He doesn't love the term because of complications of things in politics and whatnot, but when I hear the things that they talk about in this film, you know, when they say things, it's this acknowledgement that power, there's a power greater than us, and the more you surrender to it, the more that power can use you, the greater calling to something else. I mean, that to me resonates so true as a pastor. It's amazing to me. What do you think of the Ancient One?
Who's the Ancient One again?
The bald one.
Bald lady.
Oh, she reminds me of, I don't know if you ever seen Kill Bill, but his name is Pai Mei. He has like a long white beard, and he's got like, I don't know. But he teaches, what's her name? I don't know, forget it. I think she's really cool.
I think I think she's interesting. I think she's very wise. She's very intelligent. And I think she gives Doctor Strange a run for his money. Like, I think she slaps some sense into him and is like, you know what? You may think you're all that, but you're not, kind of thing. And she kind of makes him see that,
I'm better than you.
No. She kind of makes him see that, you know, this is, like, you can't keep acting the way you are because it's not working. it's not going the way that you, like... He came there to fix his hands, and when he found out, she does all this, like, magic stuff, she was like, no. He was like, no, that sounds, like, dumb, and why do you do this? And then she just, like, put her soul out, and, like, I think Josh said it earlier. I forgot what you said earlier. But, yeah, I think she has a lot of power, and I like it.
Is she good?
I think she has two sides to her. Like every human, but I think overall she's good. I think she is, but that's a hard question.
She was good because she wanted to save people. But I don't think taking bad people's powers is the right way to go. She's not someone I'd want to get on my bad, her bad side. No. And when Doctor Strange is like, there is no such thing as a soul, I think was what he said.
Yeah, that's what
he says at the beginning.
And then he's like, punches him, and then he goes like off, whatever. It's like, it was really cool. Like, yeah.
But is she good?
Yeah, I mean, she has good intentions, but she's going about it the wrong way in some strange way.
Okay. What do you guys think?
I think this is a case where it's really, like, there's two different sides. Like, some people will look at it like, oh, she's doing good, but some people will look at it like, oh, she's doing bad. Like, kind of like, I was thinking about, like, you know, what happens, like, during a war. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, obviously two countries are fighting. One country's like, oh, we're the good guys, they're the bad guys. But the other country's like, oh, we're the good guys, they're the bad guys.
Yeah, you're
so
right.
So it's almost like, you know, what she's doing. Some people are like, oh, she's doing good, she's doing the right thing. Others are like, oh, no, she's bad, she's doing the wrong thing.
Like, what was his name again?
Mordo?
Mordo?
Mordo. I think she's a good character, but I agree that she's not really doing it in the right way.
Mm.
Like, obviously, you know, she's using, like these dark powers, like, dark magic that she tells, you know, everybody else not to use because then they'll, like, you know, like, join the dark side.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Doctor Strange 2, fighting dark. Senator Palpatine. Or Chancellor, whomever. But, I don't know, I think she's a good character, but she's, like, you know, I don't think she should be using, like, the dark powers, although she is using them, like, for good. It's still, like, you know, she's telling everybody else not to use them, and yet she is using them.
Hypocrite.
What?
Hypocrite.
It's interesting, because I got the impression that she's not trying to keep people from doing it to make herself bigger. I think she's doing it to protect them from it. But... yeah.
She's a confusing character. She's really confusing.
Okay.
I'm not sure about her. She's
trying to protect people from it. Like, really? Then why are you using it? You should just, like, throw it away.
She's complicated. Well, I think... what's his name?
Mordo. Mordo. His name is Mordo.
I was going to say Mordo.
I heard Margo.
Margo. Margo.
No. Margo. Anyway, go, just go.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Josh, what do you think?
I forgot.
About the ancient one. Do you think the ancient one is good?
Okay.
That would be a good question to ask, though. Is Margo good?
Margo.
No, the ancient one.
Nope. Okay. The ancient one reminds me a lot of you. You know you from that...
So help me, I thought you were talking about me.
No.
I'm not that old, man.
And he has a bald spot, but he's not completely bald.
That's right.
No, you know, I can't remember the name of this movie right now, but it's like that comedy movie with, is it with Jackie Chan? I think it's with
Chan. You're quoting Rush Hour 3?
Yes, Rush Hour 3.
No,
I am you. No, I am you, and you are me. Yeah, I remember that bit, yeah.
What?
That's all I could think about when I was seeing her.
Is fighting over, like, the Eiffel Tower.
What a random...
But...
sure.
If she's good or bad, I think she is the...
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Is.
I think that she is doing good things just in bad ways.
Okay.
Like I said.
I think she is definitely doing good things and is going out for the best outcome and wants to see the best for the world, and obviously that's not the dark side.
The dark one, not the dark side. They're both Disney companies now, but yeah, that's the dark one. The dark.
Where's the dark side?
It's
not the dark side.
It's the dark world.
The Mordor.
Not Mordor.
What?
Mordo. No, no, Dormammu. Oh my gosh. Now we're just Mormadu. Now we're just now we're just bumbling out all these words.
For him to come, that would obviously be bad. But I mean, she is, like you said, a hypocrite because she's also drawing power from him. But she's almost doing that to keep him at bay, which is different, but I don't think she's going about it in the best way.
Yeah, I think it's evidence of our culture's idea of flexible truth. You know, it's sort of like, well, you know, it's fine. It's bad for the right reasons. It's sort of bizarre. In some ways, I feel for Mordo, because Mordo really, like, he believes hard, and he wants to do good, and then he, you know, he kind of snaps. He's disillusioned, right? And then he just falls apart. Yeah, he finds out that she's been lying to him about where her power has been coming. In some ways, I feel bad for him.
I don't see the issue with it, though.
You don't have a problem with her taking evil from the dark realm to make herself immortal?
Well, like,
yeah, I could see some problems with that.
I can, well, but is she, like, she's not killing people.
She's also not technically lying about it.
Exactly.
Because nobody's asked her, like, oh, are you using the dark magic?
But no one's even asked, because no one knew.
She's not telling anybody, because that's not something you say. You don't say, oh, yeah, I take stuff from the dark side of the earth and, like, suck it into myself. Like, that's not a conversation.
Oh, my God, that is so conceited.
Like, that's not a conversation that you have on a regular basis. So, like, I understand, like,
well, this is an interesting podcast.
Yeah.
So, all right, okay. This is what I mean. It's pretty complex, because what you are saying in that is it's okay to do the right thing or the wrong thing for the right reasons. Is essentially what you're saying.
Yeah,
as long as you don't kill anybody.
Exactly.
It depends. So what wrong things are okay to do for the right reasons?
Well, I mean, she is taking powers from the dark side, which in the past, this dark side or dark realm has been bad. But she's taking the powers and she's, you know, using it for good. She is keeping herself immortal and she's fighting against, like, this kind of dark realm, you know. If she were to go out and then, you know, start killing serial killers, like, yes, she is killing people who have murdered a bunch of people, but then she's becoming,
like,
one of the serial killers. Yeah. Which, in that case, I don't think it's right. But in this case, she's not, you know, she's not harming anybody.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, she's, you know, harming herself.
More than anything.
Kind of, because, you know, she's going to. Yeah, like, in any, like,
interesting. It's fascinating. Okay. No, keep going.
Because, like, in any, like, movie or TV show where somebody becomes immortal, you always see that they're the ones that have the most pain.
Mm.
Like, although they're able to, like, live forever and everything, they're watching the people they love die. They're watching the world change and, like, you know, they are always the ones who end up having the most pain in the end.
Edward Cullen from Twilight.
But what? See, this is what I would like to know is how much power is available outside of the dark realm, because Doctor Strange, I guess he does do that though. Is changing of time using power from the dark realm? No, that's changing the natural law.
Yeah,
but he's not taking. But that's
wrong.
They say it's yeah.
They say it's wrong, but it's not the same power though. Its power is from the Infinity Stone.
It's still wrong.
It's though. Forbidden.
That makes it wrong, though.
But isn't that different, though? I mean, he's
well,
not.
If it's forbidden, then it's probably not right.
But he's not
it's
tapping into. Is he tapping into evil to do it, though?
Forbidden doesn't necessarily mean wrong.
But it's forbidden for a reason, because it's caused,
yeah,
like, you know,
people,
destruction or it's
people
caused.
Could use it. If they can use it for wrong if they weren't ready to use it, but.
But that's what she's doing. She's ready to use the dark side for good, and she is using it for good.
Exactly.
But so this is what I'm saying. Like, is he tapping into dark magic? Or is he just doing. No, I just thought. I mean, once you start talking about this is good conversation.
It's confusing.
Confusing is good. But, like, see, I got the sense that he didn't want to tap into the dark magic, but he was willing to bend some rules, which was different to me.
Yeah.
Because I might question the Ancient One's desire to become immortal from the dark realm, which is what's suggested, is that that's why she's lived so long, and she's been taking her power from the dark realm. But if Strange isn't doing it, and he's just as powerful, if not more powerful, then maybe she didn't need to do it. Was she just doing it so she could stay alive? I don't know why she would tap in if the power was... Or maybe she just isn't as powerful as he is. I don't know. Y'all are totally lost now. That's okay.
I know what you're saying. I think, well, you know, she brought up the point that she's lost. Able to see everybody's future.
I'm always lost in every podcast.
when she was, like, on the operating table, and then she, like... When she, like, you know, ghosts her body, and then Strange does it too, she does say, like, you know, she's able to see everybody's future. So it could have been she was using her own, like, immortality to find the right person, to see somebody's future that is, you know, as strong as her, or, like you said, more. So she could have been waiting to, like, kind of...
But she said she didn't see his future. She just saw the... possibilities.
Exactly.
Wait, so if she could see the possibilities or the future, why did she kick him out the first time? Why didn't he let her stay? Because he knew he had a potential for that, and it was like, you know what?
Because she's
that
complicated.
Because, no, because she didn't actually see the future. She just saw the possibility, so she wanted to see the choice he would make to make sure that she had found the right person.
Oh, I get it.
Oh, that's true.
Okay.
And also, she wants him, like, you know, she's not teaching him everything. She's telling him he has to be the one to...
He
you know,
has
figure
to
it out
figure it out,
right.
Get the power.
He has to be the smart one.
Yeah.
So
he
so
has
she
to be better than
one-handed
Joe.
And take that stupid little green stone and, like, change, like, do, like, reverse whatever.
Yep.
Reverse time. Reverse time and stuff, and she didn't really care because... Morgo and the librarian, which is my favorite character in this movie, telling
Beyonce?
Him, you can't do this, Beyonce, you can't do this because it ruins
what?
The fabric of time, or something, Back to the Future thing, yeah, and
literally.
She just was in the background, be like, oh, I'm just gonna let this play out,
because she knows,
and come in
like...
when I'm needed.
But was she just sitting there, like, saying, I'm gonna let this play out, or did she know that it was gonna happen, so...
Probably both.
Because,
no.
Like she said, she does know the possibilities.
She knew the possibilities, but
how big is this woman's brain?
Like, the more we discuss about the fact that she's just seeing the possibilities, but she has to see the choices that are being made, this time, considering Jacob's not here, I'm making the Jesus reference.
You should send this to Jacob.
She almost seems like what God sort of has to go through. Like, he knows our outcomes.
Hmm.
He knows what can happen, but he's given us free will to make the choice. So she can see his futures, the different possibilities of what his future may be, but... Instead of predetermining it by being like, okay, I'm going to train you and you're going to do this and you're going to fight this, she let him have the choice of, she kicked him out, is he going to stay? She, like, didn't help him at first. She left him stranded on Everest, for heaven's sakes, right? Like,
not for the
she
first
had
time.
To let him find the power within him and make the choice. To fight Mormudu or
Dormudu?
So she
would sacrifice.
Doorbell.
So she would sacrifice everything, out like all the lives of everybody, just to teach some person a lesson.
Yes.
Wow.
I think
the thing is, like,
wow.
You know, she doesn't see the exact future for him, but what she's doing is, like, she's narrowing down the possibilities that she's seen.
Right.
Because, you know, obviously she's seen an alternate universe where he didn't stay for 5 hours. He went back to New York. Or he, when he, like, reversed time and got the pages back into the book, he did that butterfly magic. Like, you know, she's, like, narrowing down. She's narrowing down the possibilities that she's seen until she's able to know that, you know, these are two possible outcomes from what I've seen so far, and if they're both good outcomes, and if, you know, she's able to see that he's good and he's powerful enough to do what she's done, then she's able to, you know, stop living.
Okay. So, to sum up...
Yikes.
Dang. I can't sum this up. time is...
Fleeting
with finger movements and circles.
Yes.
This was good.
And capes.
And capes.
Yeah, we have to talk about the cape.
Well,
yeah.
Now's your chance, because I'm going to wrap it up. Talk about your cape.
The cape is the MVP of this movie. The cape has more spirit and more fight and more humor in it than, like, half of the characters in this movie.
Quote the honest trailer guy.
Yeah, I love the cape.
The cape threw more punches than Doctor Strange did.
Yes! Yeah, when
he strangled that one guy for like 10 minutes.
And then just floated in midair and was like, this is what I did. And be proud of me.
Look at my work.
You know, they actually used a magic cape in this movie, Mackenzie. They didn't.
Really?
No.
I'm not falling for that again. No. I'm watching you, Steve.
That's terrifying.
And all of them are listening to us.
No, this is good, guys. With that, we will be back next week on Monday with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and we'll have a new episode every day leading up to Infinity War, which will finally be released. So, I think you said you wanted to take us out this time.
To Infinity War and possibly...